Gracious and eternal God, thank you for watching over us the way you do, moment by moment, day by day, event by event, season by season. Thank you for this season again, Heavenly Father, this season that we rejoice in the coming Messiah. Thank you, Father, for watching over each person on this prayer focus. Some have been in surgery last week, some will be in surgery next week, some are going through radiation and chemotherapy, some are just struggling with cancers and the difficulties of life. Some have lost loved ones, some are wondering what next. Father, we lift them up to you and ask for your divine intervention, your divine touch, your peace, your healing, your goodness, and we pray above all else, your will is done. We pray again for our communities, for our families, for our co-workers, for our neighbors, for America, and for the world, that this Christmas season people would genuinely know the Prince of Peace, genuinely know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so, Father, we pray for a mighty outpouring of your Spirit this Christmas season, that people would be transformed, born again, renewed in their mind. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would do a work in and out of the church. You would do a supernatural work of transformation. Father, thank you for each person that is gathered here this morning. I pray that you would touch our hearts, that you would speak to our ears, that we would be attentive to your voice. I pray for those that aren't here, maybe wanted to be, maybe are traveling, maybe just plain couldn't be. I pray that you'd watch over them too. We pray for the other churches, Lord, all of them, in our communities, in our region, in our state, in America. We pray that your will is done, that your very presence fills these sanctuaries, these places of worship, and that your will is done, O God. Thank you for the celebration of Christmas. Thank you for the celebrations that we have had and yet will have. Help us, Father, to be filled with the joy of Jesus, now and always, I pray in his name. Amen. Now, before I go any further, I have neglected to say praise God for an event that happened just a few days ago in our kids' club. I think it was two or three Wednesdays ago, that 9 children prayed to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. And so I appreciate you giving thanks to God because he is at work. And I want to say thank you to you all, Val, and those of you that spend every Wednesday here enjoying those little rascals and leading them and modeling to them. And when you have the opportunity in pointing them to Jesus Christ, thank you. Can we also give a hand to the staff this morning? Thank you very much for what you do. This season is one that is just so filled with music and joy. We had a concert here by Michelle Whalen last Sunday, a wonderful concert. Some of us were at Teen Challenge this week also, another wonderful concert. And there's more concerts coming and more special music. I was told this morning that we're going to be blessed with a special number on our services on Christmas Eve Day. And then, of course, Christmas Eve, we will have lots of singing and celebration. Next Sunday, we will have our kids program here, right here. The second service, so we've got lots of things to celebrate yet. And I hope that you're looking forward to those celebrations because it just gets us in the mood to celebrate Christ when we're able to come together and sing and be sung to and all of these things. I hope that you plan. And there are other concerts. You can look at them on the bulletin boards in the back. There are several others in our community in the next 2 weeks. So I hope that you'll take time to just rest and bask in the music of Christmas. Now, several years ago, I told a story in the other sanctuary, we weren't in this one yet, about a happening that happened one night on World War I. And some of you will remember that story because you were probably here several years ago when I... But I was reading that story again this week and I thought, man, oh man, there's application here. So I'm going to refer to that story again, but I want to refer to Scripture first. I'm going to ask you to turn to Luke chapter 2. I will be reading from the New Living Translation. We all know that Luke chapter 2 has the Christmas story. And you might say, well, that should be for Christmas Day or Christmas Eve Day. And I will have Scripture relative to that day then too. But I wanted to refer to Luke 2 today because next week we will talk about the virgin birth. And the week after, on Christmas Eve Day, we will talk about John 1:14. And the Word became flesh. And so, I wanted to refer to Luke chapter 2 today because it is so special that we refer to Luke 2 during the season at some point, and so I want to do that. But first, let me ask you to consider a couple of questions, then I'll read 2, then I'll go on with that story that I've mentioned already. When you look around society, the church, or perhaps even your family, what has church become? You don't have to answer, I just want you to think about it. When we look around and we consider, what has church become? When we start to see flyers way back and our past already, so many days till Christmas, so many shopping days, we see Black Friday flyers. What has Christmas become? I want us just to think about that. Has it become just a momentary break in the madness of life? Do we have a tendency to minimize what Christmas is really all about and maximize the other stuff? I want us to think about these things for a moment, and I pray, my prayer is that this Christmas season we will take time to remember, to reflect, and to rejoice in the reason for Christmas. Really, there is only one reason for Christmas. It's Jesus. Amen? Let's read about that from Luke 2. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, which will be different than a lot of yours, but I like this translation. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." And suddenly, the Bible says, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." The Bible says they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. The only thing I want to say about this particular scripture, there's so much that could be said, but I want to say this about this little quote right in the middle. When the angel came on the scene that night, of course they were terrified. Here are shepherds out in the quiet of the countryside, tending their sheep in the blackness of night, maybe some stars twinkling above, maybe a moonlit night, and all of a sudden the brightness, the glory of God through this angel. And so when it says they were terrified, they were. But listen again to his words when he says, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news," and then listen to this next part, "that will bring great joy to all people." The news that they are bringing, he said, is going to bring great joy to all people. Why? They'd been waiting for this for hundreds of years, this messenger from heaven to bring this good news. And so they said, "I'm bringing to you great joy." And I ask us this morning, has the event called Christmas and the Christ of Christmas brought you great joy? Because if he hasn't, brothers and sisters, if you haven't experienced the joy of Jesus, we need to surrender and bask in him. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the author of joy. And in spite of the terribly difficult times that many are in right now, he is the source of our joy. And I simply want to ask us, has this event called Christmas got so watered down in the events of the world that we have forgotten or not been able to take time for the joy of Jesus? He's the reason for Christmas. It's not about all the other stuff that we celebrate and get caught up in and get wrapped up in. He is the reason for Christmas. And I hope and pray that this Christmas season, this Christmas celebration, is all about the Christ of Christmas for you. Now let me tell you a little story that I shared several years ago to bring this Christmas season, the spirit of Christmas, all together. I read this story a lot of years ago by Pastor Stuart Briscoe, and I shared it in this congregation over here many years ago. But I want to read it again, so bear with me if you've heard it. I have some points to make after the story. Pastor Stuart said this: "A story told to me many years ago by an old German man. He fought with the German forces in the First World War. And Pastor Briscoe says, I'll remind you that in those days, warfare was not high-tech, but hand-to-hand trench warfare. Soldiers lived, fought, and died in the trenches full of blood, mud, and vermin. In those trenches dug in the fields of France, enemies could actually hear each other talking. They didn't need satellites up above to locate the enemy. The enemy was just over there in the next trench." Some of you know about World War I. Hand-to-hand combat, bayonets. The old gentleman recalled to Pastor Briscoe how on one cold, moonlit Christmas Eve, he huddled in the bottom of the trench. Because of the annual Christmas truce. Did you realize, brothers and sisters, in World War I, they took a day off? It was Christmas. Did you know that? In the entire scope of things, in the World War I, the fighting took a day off for Christmas. They had an annual Christmas truce. That just shows me the respect of the Messiah in the entire world. 100 years ago, that could have been, he didn't list this, but it could have been 100 years ago, this Christmas season, the trenches of France were lined with the Germans and the British and some allies, and there was blood and gore and mayhem every day until Christmas. They took it off. And so the trenches were quiet on that Christmas Eve, this old gentleman passes on to Pastor Briscoe. Because of the Christmas truce, the fighting had stopped. And in the quiet of that trench that night, suddenly from the British side, a sweet tenor voice began to sing out in the darkness, the Lord is my shepherd. And the sound floated up into the clear, moonlit air. Then he said, surprising, also from the German trenches, a rich baritone voice tuned in, singing, Der Herr ist mein Heiter auf Deutsch. For a few moments, everybody in both trenches concentrated on the sound of these two invisible singers and the beautiful music and the harmony. The British soldier and the German soldier sang praise to the Lord who was their shepherd. The singing stopped and eventually the sound slowly died away. We huddled in the bottom of our trenches and tried to keep warm until Christmas Day dawned. He said early on Christmas morning, some of the British soldiers climbed up out of the trenches and went into no man's land carrying a football. For those of you that don't know the Brits, that would be a soccer ball to us. For those of you that don't know what no man's land is, it was that central location, trenches here, trenches here, and madness, mayhem, and death in between. That was no man's land. These British soldiers climbed up out of the trenches, carried their football into no man's land, and began to have a game of football. One soldier carried that round football. You see, Stuart Briscoe points out, you see, Brits can't go anywhere unless they've got their tea and their footballs. These English soldiers started kicking around the football in a pickup game in no man's land between these trenches. Then the old man told him, some of the German soldiers climbed up out of their trenches. And the British played Germany in football that day in no man's land. On Christmas Day, in the middle of the carnage and the battlefield in France in World War I, they had themselves a little game of football, soccer. He points out the English won. And then he told Pastor Briscoe the next day, the day after Christmas, the carnage began again with machine guns opening up and bayonet fighting, hand-to-hand combat, and everything was back to normal of war. I find that amazing. I read this story, I've read it several times, and I wanted to share it because there's something supernatural about Christmas. Amen? You still with me? There's something supernatural about Christmas. So supernatural that 100 years ago, people took the day off from the World War I and played football and sang hymns to the Heavenly Father. There's something supernatural about God being willing to take on flesh and come and be born, as it were. You see that little fellow? He was mesmerized by this little scene. Michelle and Alan said, this may be one of his first times in church today. And he saw this little scene here, and he was mesmerized by these characters. And right in the center is Jesus. You see, there's something supernatural about God being willing to take on flesh and come in His humanity. There's something supernatural about when World War I, people that have been spearing each other with bayonets and throwing grenades and shooting each other, and all of a sudden they take the day off. Christmas is not just a time for presents. Oh, we like presents. But it's not just a time for food and fun and folly. This season is about God coming to earth. This season about the redemption of humanity. This story that I've read to you this morning, this is a story, it's a God story. This is a story that The angels started telling it. We can read about that in Matthew 1 and Luke 1. We'll look at Matthew 1 a little bit next week. The angels started coming early, and the angels kept coming. They came and talked to Mary. They came and talked to Zechariah. They came and talked to the shepherds. This was a God story. This was a big deal. And apparently, 100 years ago, it was still a big deal when they stopped fighting in the world war to celebrate and have peace, to enjoy the Prince of Peace for a day. And I just want us to think for a few minutes this morning, friends, with this story in mind, both stories, the one from Luke and the one from Pastor Stuart Briscoe. When the tree is all put away and the poinsettias have dropped their last leaf and the manger scenes have been boxed back up, the festivities are over, the families have gone home, we probably even have to go back to work, what then? My question for us this morning is, what then will we do with Jesus? Will we just resume the carnage of the battle of life? Will we treat Him like our wallet and slip Him back into our pocket until we need something? Will we slip Him into a box like the nativity set and the balls from the Christmas tree and put them back in the closet and resume life, having forgot all about the supernatural wonder of God coming to earth? What then, the day after and the week after, brothers and sisters, what then do we do with Jesus? The war just picked up where it left off. And I want us to think this season, brothers and sisters, when Christmas Day, the last song has been sung, and Christmas Eve service and Christmas celebrations are all over, what will we do with Jesus? Will we resume life like happened in the World War? Will we put Him in a box? You see, friends, if Jesus is only a seasonal guy, bring Him out at Christmas time. Put Him on display a little. Bring Him out at Easter time. Think about the empty tomb. If Jesus is only a seasonal guy, a person to remember and even celebrated on occasion, we're missing the point of Emmanuel. We're missing it. God with us means that 365 days. It don't mean just on Christmas. Are you hearing me this morning, friends? Emmanuel means God with us. And we owe it to Him as Christians to not put Him back in the box, to not slip Him into our pocket, draw Him out only when needed, but to worship Him and to praise Him and to decide to follow Him every day. We need to treat Him like the Son of God every day, not just at Christmas. I suppose there is some of this in your house as there is in mine. We have 9 little blessings. We call them grandkids. And our children and their spouses. And we will probably all come together. And there will probably be a present or two. And I suppose if your house is somewhat like mine, a present will get tore open and the dash will be on to the next one. Does that happen in your houses? Is that just mine? Actually, it happens with adults too, I think. It isn't just kids. Here's my point. I suppose that the present will get tore open. And oh, but Catherine or Christian or any of the others in between, but there's another one, and the dash will be on to the next one without a lot of consideration for the thought in that gift, the time, the heart, or the cost. I wonder sometimes if we do that with Jesus. We celebrate the greatest gift that God has ever given to humanity for a moment and dash off to the next one. Dash off to the next present and gently set him aside to call upon him if and when we need it. Oh yes, Christmas, Jesus, now let's get on to the game, or get on to the next present. I simply encourage us this morning, friends, let us not just go back to the war, or to the next thing, or to life like nothing happened. God became humanity. God, in His goodness, visited humanity so that we might live. And I want to encourage us, let us not race on to the next gift without savoring the gift, without knowing the cost, without knowing the preparation. I want us to be very careful that Jesus does not just become some old gift, scarcely even considered when Christmas is over. I am afraid that the way many live in society, in and out of the church, it is not in light of the gift. But rather we go right back to the way things were before the gift. And so let me close with this, because our time is gone. I've said this so many times, and you know it, and I know it, and I will keep reminding us of this season, and probably the next, and the next. Friends, there is no gift like Jesus. It is God's gift to a sinful humanity. We needed this gift. We desperately do. But if we never do anything with the gift, it's just like I've longed for 11 months. I had on my Christmas list back in January, Mom and Dad, Grandpa and Grandma, whomever, I really want that new bike. I've longed for it all season. And now on Christmas, I get the bike and I park it in the garage and I never ride it. It's just like I've anticipated it. I've got it. I've received it and do nothing with it. May Jesus not be that kind of gift to us that we do nothing with it. He is the greatest gift, and we cannot benefit from this gift of God unless we receive the gift by faith. We cannot benefit from Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, the God-man, until we receive it, until we surrender to Him, until we allow Him to lead us. We will never see the benefits of this wonderful gift until we embrace it wholeheartedly, this gift called Christ, until we give our life to Him, until we surrender to Him, until we say, "Yes, Lord, I'll follow You no matter what, no matter where." We will never understand the cost of this gift until we surrender completely to Christ. That's what this season is about. Jesus, the gift. Not one that just goes back in the box, but Jesus, that I call upon, that I deny myself, that I surrender to. I don't have to be born again every day, that's not what I'm saying, but that I am willing to follow every day. I'm willing to deny myself and take up my cross to follow Him every day, putting my own agenda aside and never putting him back in the box. Receive the gift. Benefit from the gift. Live for the gift, brothers and sisters, this season and always, to the glory of God. Amen. Father, we do in fact recognize Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, Emmanuel, Son of God. We recognize Him as God, the God-man, God in the flesh. We recognize Your gift to us, O God, and we crown Him Lord of all. We recognize, as we sing in Silent Night, Jesus, Lord, even at Your birth. We recognize, Heavenly Father, this morning, the gift to humanity. Help us be mindful of this gift, not only at Christmas, but may our lives be filled with the joy of Christmas throughout the whole year. May our lives be radically changed by this Messiah, the Master Jesus. May we commit to follow Him, not just at Christmas, but for all of our lives. And so this Christmas, Heavenly Father, let us rejoice in Jesus. Let us rejoice in Your goodness. Let us rejoice in Your gift. Let us celebrate over and over and over again the gift You have given to us, the Christ, the Messiah, Jesus. Go with us now to class, to home, to travel, to this season, and help us to be filled with the joy of Jesus. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.